B-Pod Studios.
What's this? Ahoy!
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes?
I owe you an apology.
Can I have your name, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Robert Margoline.
Mr. Margoline, you owe me an apology?
Yes, sir. I've written in through the email,
mm-hmm.
and I've texted you on multiple occasions.
Yes.
Because I felt that you were being too political.
Uh-huh. Too much politics on the show, you think?
Well, it wasn't so much that. It was that you were being so one-sided.
Oh, too pro-Trump?
I consider myself an independent, looking
okay.
towards a Democrat.
Okay. Yes, sir. And have you been a Democrat all your life? LBJ Democrat?
Yes, sir. I thought the Great Society was a very important thing.
Sure. All the way with JFK?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
And
just a peanut farmer from Georgia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Now, I also texted you the other day and accused you of doing fake news.
Yes, yes, sir. And what was the fake news, sir? Because I if you owe me an apology, I want to know, did you think that we stepped over our bounds doing a fake news?
I thought that you had made up what's going on in Virginia.
Oh, absolutely. With the blackface and the sexual assault and then the attorney general blackface and all that stuff? You thought we were making that up?
I truly did.
Well, we're
and
not.
When I found out it was actually true,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, I have my opinions, but well, they were right and I was wrong.
Who was right?
You all.
Yes. Stan and Haney were right. I'd like to hear you say that, sir.
Stan and Haney were right.
Yep.
And I just, you know, I hope that you'll take that to spirit that it's intended.
Sure,
And that you'll admit when you're wrong, too.
When was I wrong?
Well, nothing comes to mind.
Thank you.
I mean, for the future.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you. You sound like an elderly man who's been listening to the show for a long time, despite our political differences, which I don't think should hinge one way or the other with an entertainment show.
Well, I listen mainly for the traffic.
Okay.
But,
okay. Can I ask how old of a man are you?
Yes, you can. I'm 78 years old.
Okay. And are you from
now,
here? Are you from here?
Well, I think that I consider myself from here. Now I've been down here about 30 years.
From where?
I used to work in an asbestos factory in Augusta. Georgia.
Okay, in Augusta, Georgia, an asbestos factory. Boy, when that whole thing went bad, you were out of work, weren't you?
Yeah, I was out of work, and, you know, a lot of people got rich off that with the settlement, but somehow this tricky dick lawyer somehow made it my fault.
Well, I apologize for that, and that was a good living for you at the asbestos factory, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was good, honest work.
I got a, you're 74 years old.
78.
78 years old. This whole blackface stuff,
I am so disgusted by it.
You are.
And the fact that it's not just one of them, it's all of them, and none of me seem to be particularly remorseful about it.
Were you, sir, in your 78 years, because times were different back in, you know, the 50s and the early 60s, you yourself never appeared in blackface, did you?
Y- Yes, it did.
Sir, Mr. Margoline, you are admitting on this radio station right now, with everything that's going on in Virginia, are you smoking?
Yes, sir.
You worked at an asbestos factory for most of your life, and now you're smoking cigarettes. Are you okay? Are you all right health-wise?
Yes, so I took it up about 5 years ago after I was pronounced clinically dead for 12 minutes. I don't want to get into it. A lot of people don't believe me, but the good Lord told me to take it up. What am I going to do?
So when you were dead,
I think it's a filthy habit.
And he said it's okay to smoke.
Yes. Okay. Well, not only okay, but that I need to take it up.
I understand. All those years in the asbestos factory, then you die you're dead on the table for 12 minutes, and the good Lord told you at the pearly gates, I'm sending you back, take up smoking. Okay.
Yeah, well, that was my interpretation, because in my vision, I thought the Lord might have been smoking, and that was a sign.
I see. Okay. Maybe it was just the clouds. It might not have been smoking. It might have been just the clouds.
That's kind of a personal belief.
A wreath of cloud. Okay. So you said you've been in blackface before.
Yes, but it was... I don't consider it on level with these people, because I was just doing a tribute to Al Jolson for my mother.
For your mother. I see. That had to go way back, probably when you were, probably 50, 60 years ago.
Well, my mother was raised on Al Jolson. She loved Step and Fetch It and whatnot.
Amos and Andy.
Oh, yeah, they was real big. But these fellas in Virginia.
Yes, sir.
They need to resign and apologize.
I agree with you.
And the one that really gets me is the lieutenant governor, who just rubs it in your face.
What do you mean?
This lieutenant governor, I saw him come on television talking about a bitch, and he's wearing full blackface.
No, sir.
He's walking around talking to the press, saying, I didn't do it, and he's wearing blackface while he's talking
Sir, you're speaking.
And I wouldn't have believed a lick of it if you hadn't told me.
Sir.
And I looked over at my wife, Margie, and I said, my God.
What's your wife's name?
Margie.
Okay. Sir.
And
sir.
I said, my God, those jackasses on the radio were right. And I will be a son of a bitch with this racist bastard going around in blackface telling everybody their business. And I won't stand for it.
Sir?
I won't stand for it.
I appreciate that, Mr. Marlin. You're a passionate man. You stand to your principles.
You want to talk about unmitigated gall. That man is standing right there in front of you wearing blackface going, I didn't do it.
Yes,
I didn't do it.
Mr. Marlin, he is a black man. You're talking about Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax.
That's the son of a bitch.
Sir, he's African American. He is a black man. He was not accused of being...
Well, if he's a black man, how can he be accused of wearing blackface?
He's not. The governor was accused of being in blackface.
No. It was all of them. All of them were wearing blackface from what I saw. All of them.
No, sir. Listen
to me.
They
were all accused of wearing blackface.
No, they weren't.
There was the governor, the assistant governor,
the lieutenant governor,
and then the attorney general.
Yes, the AG.
They all admitted to wearing blackface.
No. Two admitted blackface. The governor and the attorney general.
Well, of course, the guy that's wearing blackface isn't going to admit he's doing blackface.
He's African-American. He is a black man. He wasn't wearing blackface.
If he's an African-American, why all this think about blackface?
He's accused of a sexual...
I know what he's accused of. You told me.
No, I told you that the governor and the attorney general were accused of being doing blackface when they were in school. The lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax.
Say, I got to say, his black face isn't real convincing either.
He's black! It's not, what do you mean, not convincing? He's African-American. He's a black...
Which one is? The governor?
The lieutenant governor. He's not...
Because I saw the pictures. They're not real convincing.
That was the governor and the attorney general. A lot of these people that wore those black faces, and they tried to get a look, and they tried to, and it was a racist look. Governor, Lieutenant Governor Fairfax.
I don't think you get more racist than going out in public with it.
He's black. He's not accused of being in blackface. He is black.
I thought his name was Norman. Who's black?
Governor, Lieutenant Governor Fairfax. He's under the gun because there are women accusing him of sexual assault. He's black. The other two have been accused of being black. You follow?
Well, if that ain't a kettle of smelt.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
ladies and gentlemen.
One of the greatest novelties.
A fabulous boy prodigy.
The most amazing of all the chimp acts that have ever come to show business.
He said, as you recall, everybody remembers this one. Here's an act that'll scare the life out of you. From China. He's been in India. He's been all over the world.
Just back from Las Vegas. The Italian Casanova.
A Texas friend of mine. My handsome Italian paisano. Today's greatest living American.
Here's the man I invited to Christmas dinner.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Yeah, they could go down a little bit.
All right.
Somebody's been playing around. Hello?
Is that working?
No, that's not. You're not. You haven't even touched the pot. It's all the way down now. Hello.
That's good.
Okay, fine.
Yes, somebody has been tampering with everything in here. Mine was completely off. Yours evidently was cranked so loud. We're talking about our cans, our headphones that we use.
Yeah, it might be able to even come down just a hair.
Absolutely.
We set these things, and up just a hair, and then you'll be right there. Okay.
All right. Well, let's take care of it all right now before I. How are yours, Junior?
Mine are actually fine.
Okay,
for a change.
Good. Glad to hear it. That's a little loud. Okay.
Who plays around with this stuff?
I don't know who plays around with this stuff. These knobs, I'm not like saying we're at the console and messing with stuff. These knobs are tucked away. They're supposed to be set. They're like the master knobs. You don't. Mm-hmm. You close the lid on them. You don't
set
mess.
Set it and forget it. And then but you got somebody, delicious pasta.
Somebody wants to go and keep poking around. Okay. I gotta give you the down low here.
I thought you just did.
No, that's between you and I.
Oh, okay.
That's the good stuff. You see, Haney and I, before we go on the air, there's a lot of stuff going around here that we would be...
just bizarre.
We'd be dismissed.
Bizarre.
If we told it on the air.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
This stuff I can't... So, here's...
I don't understand people.
Neither do I. I'm beginning to learn on one in particular. Never mind. So, I guess while we were on vacation...
You know what I guess confuses me is when you tell me these...
We can't talk about it!
I know we can't, but what puzzles me is... You think you have people figured out based on what's their motivation. And it's like...
Oh, I know what that motivation is. That we can't talk about.
No, but then there's another motivation, and you're going, those don't add up.
No. Well.
All right, never mind.
I got more to tell you about that.
Just people are weird.
So, here's a weirdo. Dave. I don't want to linger on him, but he's got a new position.
You didn't get all the coffee.
I didn't.
Yeah, there's a... See the part of the... It's like a half-moon ring.
No, that ain't it.
There you go. Yeah, you were on it. Here.
I can't even see that.
Well, I can because of the glare.
Okay.
And, you know, if Brad came in, that'd be the first thing you'd see.
Crying out loud.
Then there'd be a memo about drinking coffee.
Just like to have one time. I just had a discussion with staff from other radio stations. You know, they'd improve morale around here a whole heck of a lot if somebody with a B would just come down the hallway and say, you know what, you're doing a good job. We appreciate you.
Well, what if that's not true?
Well, if that's the case, he's done it for nobody here.
He nodded his head at me the other
nodded.
Day.
Nodded. Okay. That's acknowledging your presence. That's always a positive.
I've always found it to be good.
Yeah. Okay. While we were
and on... And then, he nods at me, and then a day later, it's like, are you going to the big meeting? What big meeting?
Yeah.
Brad, is there some big... Don't worry about it. You don't need to be there.
Oh. Yeah, and who gets the fallout? Me. Okay. Now, hey, again, on air, off air.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that when they have you in a big meeting like that and go... Just want to let everybody know you're fired, except Stan.
That's happened, too.
Yep.
While we were on vacation, Bonehead got a new position here. something that he's good at.
That he's done before, and yes, we know he can do.
Because they don't have a spot for him on the air, and frankly, he's killing this show.
I know you've been doing a lot behind the scenes to help him.
Yeah. So they
so that he's got something to do rather than just sit in the producer's room and stare at you.
Precisely. So they gave him what he's done before in the past. They put him in charge of the vans, make sure they're gassed
up. It's like
up.
A family. It's like, we need to find something to keep Dave busy.
And he's found his. We knew he was going to succeed at it. So while we were gone, they gave him the new position of, like, head van guy.
Yeah, executive vice president of vans.
Okay, so.
And then you made Junior his boss.
Yes. Junior is his...
Absolutely.
And I explain this. When he's in here or in there, Junior is his boss, and he needs to abide by that. He's an employee, and there's a hierarchy. Now, they give him this job. I mean, this is a position now that they created for him. Got to do something for the boys.
Executive vice president of vans.
So his job is to make sure that he has the gas cards, the already electric.
And that vans run, and that they don't have anything in them they shouldn't have in them.
Right.
You know, wipe the dash.
Yes.
Yeah.
And don't run off with the gas cards, stuff like that. And
that's his main job, is don't run off with the gas cards.
But he people were skeptical. And you and I both said, this is menial labor. He's good at it. He's going to succeed.
But all of his bosses are young enough to be his children.
I know that. I know. His immediate supervisor in the van department, not here, you're his supervisor, Junior, who's a lot younger, is a girl that's not even 2-3 years out of college.
Yep.
That's his
supervisor.
Yeah, he's 45.
And he'll be evaluated by her.
But they all questioned, do we want Dave doing this? And you and I know this because he did it before he ran off. He's good at it. It'll be great. You're going to be very pleased. You're going to be very pleased.
It's going to take a lot of headaches away from you.
So the hallway today at Broadcast House is all a buzz. Why? Because these young people that are old enough to be his children are so impressed that what he's doing with the vans.
Because they just thought he was a complete F-up.
Yes. And Zito and you and me, we're all saying, this is his forte. This is what he's good at. He's good at menial labor and following instructions for menial labor. You know, go pick up those cigarette butts. No problem. You won't find a cigarette butt. Go fill up the vans with gasoline. Don't run off at the car.
Go to the ice cream shop and pick me up for sundaes.
He's perfect at it. So the place is all about, he's really good at this. He's spectacular. And I'm going in the hallway and saying, we told you, he's good at this stuff. Keep him off the air. He's good at this stuff. And so this is Dave. This is Dave being Dave. So
He can't help that.
So Matt Mangus is in his office because Dave's walking around pretty proud now.
He's cock of the walk.
Yeah.
And peacock showing off the feathers.
So Matt Mangus said, man, you should have heard Stan singing your praises to the young people that are your supervisors in the hallway, saying that of course he's going to do a good job. Of course he's going to succeed at that. And so Dave, always seeking attention. Now, I didn't know this conversation was going on. He goes, yeah, man, I'm going to go in there and get my compliment from Stan.
Uh-oh.
And Matt told him, no, you better not. Just.
You're not getting that.
So I didn't know this was going on. And he comes in here. Hey, bro, what's going on? Tell him, what are you doing here? Get the hell out of the room.
And he's fishing for compliments.
Yep. He didn't get one. And I reminded him that he needed to say hi to his boss in the other room.
Mm-hmm. Who was young enough to be his son.
He didn't even come in and say hi.
Of course he didn't, and I'd reprimand him for that. But then again, I'm not his supervisor.
Insubordination.
But, they love him now. They love him.
And now we're the bad guys because You always said Dave was an idiot.
No,
look at how great
he does. We're in good graces, too, because we stuck up for him. Because they didn't want him over there. Oh, my God, no way. Not that bonehead.
Well,
they
love
him.
That bonehead
is a bonehead.
Makes their life a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, he's going to make it a lot easier. And I forewarned him. I said, you're going to get the best out of him that you're going to get. He's going to go and work his ass off till he doesn't show up.
Yep. And then you have to deal with that.
Yep. Finding a replacement. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Let me get on my chopper.
Well, it's a good look on you.
Yep.
To be a true champion, you need pride, vision, and perseverance. You need these same qualities to be a moderately successful afternoon FM talk show. Do you really expect people to believe this shit? Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96K Rock.
Well,
we can't go any higher than this because we won't join the Illuminati.
No. Next month, April, will mark 22 years in the afternoon for UNA. 22 years ago, they said, we're putting you in the afternoon.
That's when, really, the clouds cleared and the sun came out.
It sure did. Before we do the grab bag, just want to let you know, more chances to get qualified for the Stan and Haney golf cart, which we will be giving away on April 6th at Duffy's Sports Grill at the Stony Brook Golf Club. You got to listen for Dave and I arguing. And then if you're the ninth caller, you'll get a golf ball. And then on the sixth,
there'll be a helicopter involved.
5 p.m., a helicopter's going to drop all the golf balls out on the putting green. One closest to the hole is going to be the big winner. All right. So that's also today. Are you smarter than Haney? The lovely Karen will be joining us.
When is it 22 years in the afternoon?
It will be next month. I got to get the exact date. But it'll be 22 years.
Not a lot of people know this, but the Stan and Haney program was at least conceived in Naples, Florida.
It was?
Yeah. Because we left here and we took a drive down to Naples, and we were looking at old radios or something, and old turntables.
Yeah.
And talking about what we needed to do. Well, what are we going to do?
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
May as well try it.
Could work.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Car Talk.
Yep. I remember the day very well now.
Yep.
We were listening to a radio program and saying, how long can this guy stay in character?
Yep.
He did for 4 hours.
Awesome.
Grab bag.
And became a good friend of ours.
Yep. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Let me ask myself a hard question. Do I want to own a Lincoln?
Here I am, sitting in my Lincoln, contemplating why I thought I'd be as cool as Matthew McConaughey if I bought one of these cars. I don't own an expensive house with big glass windows. I don't have no fancy friends watching me play pool. I don't fall backwards into a swimming pool. I don't normally speak with a southern accent, but I am stopped in the middle of the road, contemplating why I bought this Lincoln. I'm going.
All right. That is the worst. The one with the pool table, that is the worst.
That gets me so mad.
I've never seen anything like that before. Wait, you never been to a frickin' bar?
Yeah.
I've seen that no less than 60 million times.
Some done well, some not.
Yep.
I do this for Junior. This is something that we've got going. The Millennium Moment. This is for all you young people out there.
And now, today's Millennial Moment. My parents keep telling me I need a credit card, that I need to establish credit. Why do I need that? I'm using their Visa. That was today's Millennial Moment.
Didn't we just have that conversation? I think we did, like yesterday.
Yeah. I can't trust myself with a credit card.
Okay, I want...
You know what he said?
What? I know... I don't know the exact conversation, but I know damn well that's come up.
Well, he's going to pick up food, and he goes, oh, wait, I forgot to ask him if they took American Express. You better give them all to me.
Yeah.
And so I hand him three cards, and he's walking out, and he's like, man, I feel like something.
Let me ask you something, Junior. This is basic credit card responsibility number one. What's the difference between an American Express and, say, a Visa or a MasterCard? What's the difference?
Well, these days...
The general premise of American Express.
What is it, interest rates?
One, American Express, traditionally, they have different programs now. American Express is a charge card. Visa, Master are credit cards, meaning you buy stuff on credit. An American Express card is a charge card, meaning charge it to my card, I'll pay it at the end of the month, meaning you have to pay it all off. So if you go out for dinner and, you know, you're trying to entertain fellow musicians and producers and engineers, and you're like, hey, dinner's on me. And you pull out the American Express card, member since 2019. Yeah. And you say, I'll take care of this. And the bill comes to, let's say, I'll be conservative for you because I've seen it far worse when I have to do it. The bill comes to under $100, let's say $98 and some change. Because you had a few drinks in there. Some people drank more than others, but you got it. You take out the American Express card. That bill is going to come to you in the mail for $98. You have to pay the entire $98 when you're doing your bills, or you lose the card. Where if it's a credit card, say Dave has a credit card.
With a $250 limit.
Yep, and a 33% interest.
Yep.
And he pays $2 on that. Because he's got a credit card. My credit's good at 33% interest.
Mm-hmm. But only at the gas station.
Only at the gas
station.
Only
at this particular gas station.
There's where the difference is. And it's all about responsibility, son. It's all about responsibility.
But you fired American Express.
I did fire
And I think
American
that's
Express.
When they changed.
I got to say this in a nutshell.
They have different products, I know.
I have been I was an American Express card holder.
And you got mad at them.
Since the early 80s. It was the first card when I was in college that I could get. And I had the traditional green card. And then they went and said, you know what, you're doing a good job with this. We're going to give you the gold card. Then you're doing a good job with that. We're going to give you the platinum card. You're doing a good job with that. We're going to give you a line of credit with that. Because they have that now where they have their own credit cards. Doing good with that. I was up to like the black. And in 2008, now keep in mind, I was a card holder of American Express. Like... From 1981 to 2008.
Now, that's a long time ago for you, Junior. That's when the Great Depression hit.
Yeah. And I had close to, not at, but close to a six-figure credit line. It was up in the high fives. And never missed a payment, was in excellent standing with them. All those years, and American Express called me up. Things are getting tight now. I know the economy, so many people losing your job. We want to cut your credit limit. I said, you want to what? I want to cut your credit limit. We're going to go and reduce it to this, and maybe you'd be happier in a gold card. And I said, F you. I said, I've been a customer of yours for almost 30 years. I said, no, not good. I said, cancel every single account I have with you guys. Done. Now, I'll tell you right now, that hurt my credit.
You hemorrhaged your credit card.
I said, but I will no longer do business with you. That's it.
So on principle, you screwed yourself.
Sure did. Got it all back, though. I mean, I'm okay now. But I won't deal with them. I mean, 28 years?
But they don't
care. They don't care.
You can't make it personal, Stan.
No, but I did. Because those were tough times in 08, Haney.
Yep. Well, I've done it before, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Where something's just so blatantly wrong
that yes.
even though you know it's only going to hurt you,
yep.
you have to.
Yep, it's the principle of the matter.
Yep.
All right, hold your. I got a couple of cuts with this. This is bad. This is creepy on the highest level. In Philadelphia, there is an all-male cuddling club.
And why do we need to know of this?
Their goal is to provide therapeutic platonic touch. They claim it's 100% sex-free.
Just happens to be run by gays, right?
And here's a brief story on it. This exists.
Looking to heal through the power of cuddling. On its meetup page, the Men's Therapeutic Cuddle Group says its goal is to provide a safe, structured, and platonic environment for men to experience acceptance, affirmation, and affection. Participants must shower before and remain fully clothed. They specify this is strictly platonic, and they're accepting men of all backgrounds, but they say men who are obese or have back or knee injuries may have trouble fully participating. Mm.
So who are these people? Here are two professional cuddlists.
Hi, I'm Cecilia.
And I'm Kyle, and we're both cuddlists in Philadelphia. We do professional cuddling. Some people call it therapeutic cuddling. This field and this modality of healing is so new that the spectrum of different benefits is so large. So I think one of the basic ones for a lot of people is receiving really nurturing platonic touch and getting more of that really beautiful, nourishing touch in their lives that I think, unfortunately, especially in United States culture, we don't get much. Some of the clients are people who, like, they give and they give and they give, and they're always taking care of others. And this is a really great way for them to slow down and them be taken care of. And for some of them, that's a real growth process.
It's
that's
so sick.
A skill that they're learning.
Do you know why it's come to this?
Why?
And I'm addressing the New World Order when I say this. Because you have conditioned women to hate men.
Yeah.
To convince everybody that you shouldn't have kids, so then why would you have a family? So, therefore, you find yourself
getting your nurturing from a man.
Yes, and paying for it.
Yeah, there's a profit to be made
You're
everywhere.
You're paying young Kyle to nurture you.
Yep, nurture, stroke your hair.
You're a grown man, and you want Kyle, who is a professional cuddler, which means, in other words, he can't get hired at Fridays or something.
He's a cuddlist. That's what the name, the cuddlist. That's what they're called. He's not a cuddler. He's a cuddlist.
That'd make a great movie. Sean Connery is the cuddlist. Get your ass in here and get cuddled. Got very limited time.
So sick. Oh.
I can feel you're too tense. Relax.
If this happens, this is going to be revolutionary, and I don't know that it's real. It can't be real.
Submit! I must put my brawny paw on your neck!
This is something that Dave needs to know about in every drunk in your life.
And we all have them.
Yep. Alcosynth. Alcosynth.
It's real.
It's real.
And it's coming.
It is a synthetic substitute for alcohol that gives you all the positive benefits of the booze.
Meaning the buzz.
But none of the detrimental cirrhoses and...
Well, the way that I understand it, it's not toxic to your liver. It won't give you a hangover. And you just have to keep hitting it every 45 minutes as long as you choose to be drunk.
Yep, here you
go. And if you choose not to be drunk, give yourself a half hour, you'll be fine.
Here you go.
Alcosynth is actually a series of compounds. We've patented about 90 of them now, where we're trying to dissect out the good effects of alcohol and find substances which can replicate those and give you the positive benefits of drinking, but be free from the unwanted effects like toxicity to the liver and to the heart. And also free from effects like addiction. Well, a lot of people are fascinated by the lack of hangover. And that's not a major issue for me, because I actually think hangovers are one of the few deterrents people have to drinking. But it will be hangover-free, yes. The problem with alcohol is that the more you drink, the more dangerous it gets. And, of course, as you know, many people, when they start drinking, intend to only have one or two drinks, but do lose control. So our molecules are designed so that however much you took, you wouldn't kill yourself. But beyond that, they're also designed so that they won't induce this state of Moorishness of wanting more.
But what happens? This he's not thinking through the unforeseen consequences.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Because if you're doing the Alka-Synth and you're having a good time, who knows? Maybe you start to make an ass of yourself, but you've set yourself a time limit. Say you're going to party from 8 p.m. till 11:30. And so at 10:45, you have your last Alka-Synth. And you're doing whatever it is drunks do. And then all of a sudden at 11:30, you're stone cold sober and have to face the people you've just been making an ass of yourself in front of. That's not good.
You hope that if you're partying, you got a group of people that are all cutting off at the same time.
It's still awkward.
Of course it's awkward.
Because then everybody's going, oh,
how many times have we gone to a Christmas party at this company and they have to come back on Friday? Because we'll only have it in the middle of the week. Because that's where we can get it cheap.
Yeah, that's where you get your best deal.
And somebody on a Wednesday night at the Christmas party is making a complete ass of themselves.
Stan, please don't talk about the fact that I had to put you in a chokehold.
That was so long ago.
I thought that's what you were talking
about.
That's
not what I'm... Peter Mugnor.
You nearly got us checked right out of a career.
Look, that was a good 19 years ago.
Do you know...
It's all forgotten except from you! Nobody remembers that!
You know, at the Christmas party, maybe somebody heckles the boss. That's not enough for Stan. No, he's got to go right to the top.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
You'll miss us when we're gone. Thankfully, we're not going anywhere. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Telephone number into the studio if you want to talk to us. 277-9600. It's a 239 area code. I'll go over some of the prizes. You contribute to the show, we could throw you a prize.
We could.
In minutes, are you smarter than Haney? Couple of things. I had to pick up something at the front desk. And I got to give Junior. Junior hasn't experienced this. And I need to let you know, and if somebody, this person can hear my voice, and I know they can. Apparently, we have a new receptionist up front, too. She's just wonderful.
Have I met her?
You may have. I don't know. She's very lovely. I won't say her name because she hasn't given me permission to yet, but we have a very lovely receptionist. And she's doing a great job. And she took me aside when I went up to the front lobby to explain that an old acquaintance of ours who used to badger everybody, and we finally had to ban him from the show, is starting up.
Mm-mm. No.
And what am I supposed to do? Left on hold at the front desk for long periods of time. And I said, if that fat, greasy piece of crap calls you, I said, do not take his call, period.
Nope, we tried.
Tried so hard.
Tried to be very nice, and you can't.
And you can't. You can't, because he turned out to be a slimy, sloth, greedy, really disturbed F. So don't get any ideas. And he, if he can process this information, he knows who he is. 27.
Well, then, no, he doesn't know who he is based on what you just said.
Yeah, because he's a mess. He just, he takes up space and air. 2779600.
Stan, as you know, I am working with Junior.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can be really frustrating at times, and I was trying to educate him last night because he brought up his opinion about the Electoral College.
Oh, Jesus.
And he believes that the Electoral College, they need to fire them all because they're all corrupt. They're taking bribes every election.
Those damn Electoral College.
Yeah. Who, the people running the Electoral College, they're all on the take, and they've been rigging elections for Republicans for years. Mm. It's time to kick them out.
Really?
They're all bad.
You really are so misinformed. You know, the Electoral College actually helps the Democrats.
No, not today.
Not this last time around. But, you know, you ever see when they have the big maps?
Yeah.
And they talk about, well, the road to, what is it, 270 or whatever it is much easier for the Democrats than it is for Republicans. Not this time around.
Yeah. Well, it started because yesterday when I started out the news with things you didn't know, was talking about the fact that Los Angeles County, who, by the way, they've completely banned smoking everywhere, even outdoors.
Yeah.
The population of Los Angeles County alone, one county in California, has a larger population than 40 of these United States.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about the Electoral College. He thinks he's going to apply to go there.
Right.
Because I got him.
Yeah.
I got him bad because he's saying all these things, and I stopped and I realized it. And I said, you don't have any idea what the Electoral College is.
You don't want to, and besides, you don't want to go. They're looking at your hair. You should apply at Quaker State.
Now,
sorry.
Now, check this out. But we turned a negative into a positive because now that he's kind of got a grasp on what it is, he is going to fill out the form to be an elector.
He is.
Yes, I'm very proud of him.
Good for you.
Thanks, guys.
Now, if you become an elector, will you be corrupt?
They're all corrupt.
Well, it depends on how much we're talking.
Jeez, yeah, money but you talks. Know,
honest to God, we talked about that, and he is woefully lacking in what we would call civics.
Sure, because they don't teach it anymore.
But what I did find...
What?
Is he is a borderline musical genius.
Oh, yeah, he is. So you think he can learn better in song?
Maybe, but... The conversation we were having, we were talking about the Electoral College and all that stuff, and then we started talking about music.
Yeah.
And you know, me and my buddy Tommy played together for years, sure. And one of the things we were working on when he passed away was trying to work on harmonies and things like that. And I asked Junior What does Brian May have going on with his guitar work? You know, the famous Queen sound. And he said, well, can you play me an example of that? And I said, well, a simple example would be this, where his guitar is different than others. Now, that's multiple guitar parts.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Junior, how is he doing that? What kind of harmony is that? Because I've been trying to study harmonies, and they don't come out like that. And he went off, what is the name of it?
What, counterpoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he goes, you see, that's not really a harmony. It's what we call counterpoint. And who made that famous?
Well, all your old composers, you know, Bach, Mozart.
And he pulls out his phone with these music charts and starts going through the stuff. And I'm going, this guy knows stuff I would never learn through an entire life.
He went to school for it. And first of all, A, you have to be born with a gift. If you have that gift, you cultivate that gift any way that you see fit to do it. Some want to go to school to expand their mind. Others can do it on the street. But, he knows that stuff.
But it was
usually people that know that stuff are so antisocial, though, that they're tough to be around.
But I was amazed at, you know how I am at my age with my curiosity.
Yeah.
That this guy at 25 was able to introduce me to a musical concept I had never even heard of.
That's the way he is.
And was able to explain it.
Yep. That's a gift.
Ahoy. That was pretty impressive.
Ahoy, who's this?
Alex Jones. Ahoy, hey. Gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
Don't I know the antisocial bit? he could also have a built-in polyoctave generator, a POG. Perhaps,
what do you think about that, Junior? Polyoctave generator, POG.
I think he just called you a POG.
I don't even know what that is.
Hey,
I believe Electro-Harmonix makes one. A couple different.
Oh, is it like a pedal?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll look into it.
What, that will do Brian May sounds?
I think it's like a harmonizer or something. Am I right?
We're not talking about thirds and fifths here. We're talking about something different.
Well, you said it's an octave pedal?
It's a polyoctave generator. It's made by Electro-Harmonix. They make a couple different versions. A very simple one, a cheaper line model, and then they also make a one that you can adjust the oscillators and stuff like that.
That's pretty sweet. So you can make waveforms and stuff, like different ones.
Well, I mean, if you're recording it. That's not why I called in.
Hold on, though, Alex. Junior, you can look into that. Alex, the Mueller report, we got complete vindication here?
Well, we've been telling the listeners for years, the 22 months it's been going on. We told everybody you can look this up in mainline articles. You can look this up. We did the research, and Brian Williams and the crooks over at MSNBC that helped cook up this nothing burger of a story, simply because they were just mad about Hillary losing the election. That's why it all began anyway.
Now, is that the key to all this? Do we need to go get Hillary now?
We need to get Rachel Maddow. Is what we need to do.
See you later, buddy. He's good.
Yes, he is.
He's very good. He's very good. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, Stan. This is Gary down in Naples.
Hey, Gary.
What do you say, Gary?
What's going on, brother? Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys. Nice to have you back on the air, but thank you guys last week for having Joe Klimas on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
The Dean.
Old buddy ours.
It brought back a lot of memories from down here on Marco in Naples. We used to hang out and have a few belts.
One of the nicest gentlemen Haney and I ever knew, and we knew him for a long time.
And a fun guy to have a couple of belts with.
Yeah, he was fun.
I've known him for like 40 years.
And a lot of people don't, and I think I brought it up, the clip that I had of him, of the show that we had that he was on. A lot of people are like, yeah, he was a sports guy in town before all the other TV stations came around.
Sure.
Was a quarterback at UConn.
Yes, he was, and I'm from Connecticut. So
still held some
of
records at UConn for football. Was drafted for the NFL, wound up playing semi-pro ball. Yep. He was an athlete.
Yes, he was, and he looked it to the day he died. He was in good shape.
He was a great guy, and thank you so much for listening to the show.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, pal. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was another guy who was game for anything.
Anything.
When we had our TV show, he'd do bits with us.
We did a, because he was still doing sports when we were doing our TV show, and we had an idea of a golf bit where I would go and hit a golf ball and have it ricocheting all around the studio.
Yep.
And we had him on his set with his tie and jacket on, giving sports scores with the blue screen behind him,
mm-hmm.
and the golf ball go flying by. He was a great guy. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Sugar Chris, Sugar Chris, Sugar Chris. Can't get enough of that Sugar Chris.
There we go. Hey, we got to take a break. We are going to play Are You Smarter Than Haney? Karen's going to join us. Up for grabs, it'll be your choice. Tickets to Busch Gardens and their Food and Wine Festival, or how about a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed September 19th? It'll be your choice. Busch Gardens, Disturbed concert here. You know the new rules. Got to get at least two right to even qualify for a prize. You don't get the prize.
So we've all learned something today. If you want to be really good, in addition to your basic harmonies, you have to know counterpoint.
Right.
Yes?
There's a whole lot of rules involved. It's a lot to get into.
Junior's going
to
be an elector.
But you know what the problem is?
What?
Too much of it is math-based.
Yep. I can't do that.
I just go by feeling.
I can't count what's in my wallet. And I have nothing.
What's in your wallet?
Yep.
Nothing.
Nothing. Smarter Than Haney next. Stan and Haney.
Making Mr. Beasley a wealthy man for most of our adult lives.
Stan and Haney.
On 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. The party continuing about how good Dave is doing.
He's
around
a
here.
Good boy.
You know, with menial labor. Because that's what he's good at. And it keeps him out of here.
Aren't you proud of him, Jeffrey?
You know, I couldn't believe it. And I think Rachel Beasley was the one that was, she didn't want to admit it. But she said, you know,
he's
a good boy. He's doing a good job.
Yeah. You can ask him to pick up a tire, just don't design one.
You know, there's like a checklist of things that he has to do. And he wrote, instead of just checking things off saying like, good, he puts, all good, bro.
He's a good boy. Yeah.
Hi, Karen.
Hello, everyone.
It is lovely to see
you.
It's Wednesday, so that means Smarter Than Haney. The lovely Karen joins us in studio as your lifeline. Six categories. First person to get all six, either Haney or the random Stan and Haney listener, will win. New rule, you got to get at least two right.
And, you know, Dave is a good boy, but let's not forget Junior. He's a good boy. Soon he's going to be off to electoral college.
Yep. yes. Up for grabs. It's going to be your choice if you're the randomly selected Stan and Haney listener to go against Haney. You can either choose a pair of tickets to go to Busch Gardens and take part in their Food and Wine Festival going on right now till the end of next month. Or you can get a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed at Hertz Arena on September the 19th. Six categories. Karen's your lifeline for one of the categories. You must say, I would like to use my lifeline before I ask the question. First person to get all of them right will be the winner. We have a little various sound effects to help you along. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this. Jeez.
See, that's a little high.
Yeah, and I have to keep her. Incorrect answer. Taking too long. Lose. And if you select science and nature, you'll hear this.
Science.
Never gets old,
now,
does it?
Can't have won anything in the last 30 days. Let's play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you. You can try it. Stan's got prizes. Yours
you used to
free.
Sing along to this.
I know.
But
I'm not a singer.
She fell asleep in her car today.
I had to take a nap. I was so tired.
What are you doing to yourself? You need at least 12 hours a night.
Oh, man, I wish.
Mark 15 on the weekend.
No, he has the right idea over here.
15 on the weekend.
Everybody is more agreeable after they've had 12 hours sleep.
I agree. Disagree.
Simply prove you're smarter than me.
I'm a genius.
You're a slob.
I must beat you. That's my f***ing job. If you think
you're smarter than me, I politely disagree. 277-9600. Cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. Random Stan and Haney listener does not necessarily mean the first person I select. If you have a bad connected phone, if you're like a bonehead, we'll go to the next one. Karen?
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. Up for grabs, your choice. Busch Gardens or Disturbed. 277-9600. Must get to even be eligible for the prize. Must get two right. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Ken.
Ken?
Yes.
Ken, have you won anything from us in the last 30 days?
No.
Have you ever played this game before?
No, I haven't.
All right, Ken, say hi to Karen. She's your lifeline.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, Ken, good luck.
Thank you.
And Ken, because certain people, just care about winning something, we changed the rules. You must get at least two categories correct to even be eligible for the prize. Understood?
I think I can handle that.
All right, Ken. I'm glad.
A lot of confidence.
A lot of confidence. The categories, geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. As always, we begin with Mark Haney. Mark, pick a category.
If you had to guess.
Geography.
Okay.
There we go.
Geography. Now, keep in mind, Ken, if Haney can't answer it and you have the category open, you can steal. He can do the same to you, all right?
Gotcha.
All right. Haney. What Middle Eastern news channel's name means the island in Arabic?
Al Jazeera?
Correct. Al Jazeera. Ken, category?
I had to run through all those Middle Eastern news channels in my mind.
Science and nature.
Science?
Science.
In science and nature, Ken, what do snake milkers collect?
Venom.
Yep, venom. You're absolutely right. They collect venom. Venom can be used to produce anti-venom and other treatments.
Yep, like Cobroxin.
Yep. Four times diluted cobra venom. Ask for it by name, Cobroxin.
Remember when we were all strung out on that?
Yeah, man.
Stan and me used to do cobra venom here in the studio.
Yep. Then.
Help
live your best life.
Help my back.
Best practices, I think.
Haney, category?
History.
History. La, da, da, da. Haney, on what university campus did the National Guard open fire on a group of students protesting the U.S. bombing of Cambodia?
Kent State.
Yep. Kent State. History. You knew that, Ken, didn't you?
I sure did.
Well, don't worry. We'll find another question that you might know. Pick a category.
Okay. What's left?
You got a lot left. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure. Karen, a lifeline if you want to use her.
Let's try history.
In history. Haney already has the category, so he can't steal. La-da-da. Let me see. All right, here you go.
Ben, can you tell the lady texting I said Kent State?
Kent State.
Kent.
Yep. K-E-N-T.
I don't know what you think you heard.
Lady.
Oh, man.
In history for Ken. In 2000, what Family Values Republican married his third wife a congressional aide with whom he had allegedly had an affair with. Would you like to hear it again?
I'm not sure we're doing any good.
All right. Well,
I'd like to hear it again.
You can't steal, Haney, but if you know the answer, Karen, if you know the
answer. No, but I think I missed something at the beginning. I think I know who it is.
In 2000, what family values Republican married his third wife, a congressional aide whom he had allegedly had an affair with?
Is it Newt?
It's Newt Gingrich. Yep. Haney, you have control, entertainment, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Science.
Okay, let's see. In science and nature. Haney, what writing system could be deciphered thanks to the discovery of the Rosetta Stone?
Hieroglyphics?
You are absolutely correct, in science and nature.
I got a very nice, supportive smile from Karen on that. Well done.
Haney's halfway home. Keep in mind, Ken, you got to get at least two right. You have one right thus far. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
I'm going to go with Karen.
Karen, category?
What does he have left?
He has geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
Let's do...
Entertainment?
No, let's do arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
Why not?
Wow, okay.
It's my favorite.
It's everyone's favorite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, arts and literature. Da, da, da. Arts and literature. Let me see. Which Bourne, Jason Bourne, which Bourne thriller was not written by Robert Ludlum? Supremacy, Legacy, or Ultimatum? Not written by Robert Ludlum.
Is it Ultimatum?
That is incorrect. Haney, you can steal. Is it Supremacy or Legacy? Not written by Robert Ludlum.
Legacy.
You are correct. It is Legacy. And you have control of the board.
And arts and literature out of the way.
Out of the way. Haney, entertainment, sports, and leisure.
I think I would like to use my lifeline.
Yay.
All right. Entertainment, sports, and leisure, Karen.
I'm going to stick to entertainment this time.
All right.
Sports and leisure is not really my thing. Yes.
Okay. Listen carefully,
okay,
Karen, in entertainment for Haney. You have the category open, Ken, so if Karen misses this, much like Haney did with your lifeline question, you can steal it, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go, Karen. This is for Haney in entertainment. What TV show were Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, and Christina Aguilera all cast members of in the 1990s?
It's the Mickey Mouse Club.
You are correct. The Mickey Mouse Club. Absolutely. Now I need
Thank
to,
you, Karen.
You're very
I
welcome.
Need to give Ken some information right now. Haney is at match point.
No.
He doesn't. You have control, but Haney's at match point with sports and leisure. You have one category answered correctly in science and nature. You must, before Haney wins the game, must at least get one more right.
Okay.
You can do this.
He was very confident.
Oh, I know.
Ken?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm still confident.
Ken, pick a category.
Arts and leisure.
Arts and literature? Or sports?
Literature, yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
I have sports and leisure, arts and literature.
Sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure.
Now, if he should miss this question, Stan,
You could steal and win the game.
Because that's the only category I have left out of all the categories he had to choose from.
Well, see, that's what I was trying to avoid, but I screwed up, so...
Oh, well. I have not... Hold it.
I would allow it.
I have not asked the question yet. Do you wish to change the category?
Arts and whatever.
Arts and literature?
Yes.
All right.
See, I gave him enough credit to think that that was unintentional.
Yeah. And I think it was unintentional, because if he screwed it up, he would get nothing.
Yeah.
All right. This is in arts and literature,
Ken. I'd like to
see
him get a prize.
Arts and literature. What poet wrote, "I celebrate myself and sing myself"? What poet wrote, "I celebrate myself, I sing myself"?
Oh, Ernest Hemingway. I have no idea.
Incorrect.
Was it Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
No. Good guess, though. Good guess. That was Walt Whitman.
Boy, he's been responsible for a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah. Haney, it's match point. Now, keep in mind, Ken, if Haney gets it incorrect, you can steal the category and gain control.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Haney gets this correct, game is over, and it was just nice playing with you.
Finish him!
And Daddy and Ken's SOL.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
What was that noise?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That?
What was that? What is that?
Finish him.
Going for the kill.
Oh, final boss time, huh?
Here we go, Haney. For the game. What number did Dr. J. Julius Erving wear for the Philadelphia 76ers? Was it number 6, number 33, or number 42? Julius Erving, the doctor.
33.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Where am I getting that from? Because he wore 33.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was 33.
Oh.
All right, Ken.
Here you go, Ken. You can stay in the game. Was it number 6 or number 42 that the doctor wore in Philadelphia?
Number 42.
That is incorrect. Incorrect. You have control of the game. Dr. J, Julius Erving, wore number 6 for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I've got that burned into my mind, him wearing a 33
jersey.
When
he was with the Nets, he wore 32, but he was number 6 with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Must have been what it was, 32.
Ken, category, geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
History.
History for Ken. La-da-da-da. Find one that I didn't ask yet. Ah, that's a good one. Ken, in history, in history, name two of the four U.S. presidents who have won a Nobel Peace Prize. Four presidents have won a Nobel Peace Prize. Just name two of them.
Jimmy Carter and... Harry Truman.
Oh my god.
I guess Harry Truman wouldn't be a good guess with the old H-bomb.
You know what,
that,
Jimmy Carter, you were absolutely correct on.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, I knew Jimmy.
I know you can name a president worse than Jimmy Carter.
Well,
president worse than Jimmy Carter.
Worse than Jimmy Carter.
There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one that's worse.
Bill Clinton?
Good guess. He's just above Carter. Here are the four presidents that have won Nobel Peace Prizes. You were right with Jimmy Carter.
Now, keep in mind, Stan didn't say they deserved them.
Right. Jimmy Carter was one of them. What we were looking for to help you along with that, Barack Obama. The other two? Yeah.
It was so recent. You should have remembered.
The other? Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize he won a peace prize.
He most certainly didn't. Should have given it back.
The clear thing is that he didn't. We didn't say he deserved it. He won one.
Right.
The New York Times and the Washington Post won a Pulitzer last year for reporting on a lie.
The others were Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson. Haney, we're back to Match Point in sports and leisure.
Out of all of them, I would agree with Roosevelt and Carter. I'd give
Carter, I'd give it to Carter. Dun, dun, dun. All right, Haney, sports and leisure. I'll be honest with you, Ken. I thought Haney was going to nail Julius Erving's number. I thought he would.
Well, I legitimately didn't know.
I thought he was. I thought he was, too.
But in sports and leisure, he's got another question that has popped up, and it's in the basketball category as well. For the game, Haney. And again, if Haney misses this, you can steal it, Ken.
I'm listening.
And you really, really, just to get a prize, need to get something here. Haney, for the game. Finish him. Finish.
I love that.
Finish him. For the game, Haney, what NBA great claimed in an autobiography to have slept with 20,000 women?
Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain.
You are absolutely correct. Just like that. Let me ask you, Ken, did you know that?
That wouldn't have been my guess.
No. Oh, man. Okay.
Who would you have guessed?
Yeah, who would you have guessed?
I was going to go with Magic Johnson.
Okay,
that's a good one.
At some point, he had to stop.
He retired.
He retired. Ken, nice try. I appreciate you coming on and trying to play the game, okay?
All right. Hey, it's easier to listen. It's easier when you're listening than when you're playing.
Indeed.
Sure.
Indeed. Thank you for calling. That's the first person we've ever had to do that to.
Yeah.
And some might say, you feel...
Started out very confident.
Yeah, he did. He started out strong.
And you have plenty of choices and options and times to go, so it's fair.
You were 50-50 today.
Yes, I was.
So congratulations to you. You did a nice job as well. Haney, just six categories to one. And I thought he was going to be a really good competitive player.
I think that, like many of our contestants... Mm-hmm. He didn't play his best game.
No, he did
not. He let it get to him.
Haney, let's close the door on this thing.
You are stupid. I am smart. Know your role and simply play your part. I'm as shrewd can be. No one f***s with Mark Haney. Take your prizes.
No prize today.
Hand.
No prize.
Now you finally start to understand nothing personal. That's just me. You've been schooled by Mark Haney.
Southwest Florida's only radio show powered by alternative energy. Our show is produced through a volatile combination of superheated air and methane. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you caught up on traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. You're going to get another chance in a few minutes to have your shot at winning a customized Stan and Haney golf cart from Carts MD in Fort Myers. If you haven't seen it, it's on our website. It's on our Facebook. This is a customized golf cart. Now, when you hear Dave and I arguing, that's your, we call in the business, your sounder to call in. Ninth caller will get themselves a golf ball. Once we get all the qualifiers, we'll all hang out at Duffy's Sports Grill at Stony Brook Golf Club. That'll be April 6th, 5 p.m. Must be present. And then a chopper is going to come by and drop all those golf balls out. And if you have the golf ball that is closest to the hole, you're going to win that customized golf cart. It's going to be your very own. It should be mine or Haney's. Should be ours that we keep at the station to just stroll around in. But we're giving it to a listener. Your
we
chance.
Do, you know, we just ride around in it every day.
Yeah, I would. Your chance to get qualified for that. Again, you got to listen to Dave and I arguing. Ninth caller will get a golf ball. That's coming up in a few minutes. Right now, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Our first look this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, let's see what we got. Let's start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. Palm Beach Boulevard and State Road 31. Fort Myers, crash. 9200 block of College Parkway at Anytime Fitness. Fort Myers, crash. Health Park Circle and Holly Fern Court. And out at, boy, you know what? This is a beautiful part of Southwest Florida. Out on Boca Grande. Got a crash. Gulf Boulevard at the South Beach Grill. A beautiful Boca Grande. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, I see him right over there. He's looking at today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you. You didn't know.
Okay.
You know, for years, it has been a closely guarded secret. KFC's secret recipe.
Yep.
How many herbs and spices?
11, I believe. Secret herbs and spices.
Uh-huh.
Do we know what's in it?
In a shocking move, KFC has announced they will reveal their secret recipe for the sake of a British cooking class.
Let me tell you something. Colonel Sanders is rolling in his grave. He guarded that with his life. Do you know that when he started that, if you weren't cooking his chicken right, he'd take all the utensils and stuff and drive away with them?
Yeah, I think he drive a station wagon, yep. Pull up there, and he'd take the fryer right out.
Yep, it's true.
You lazy sons of...
Yep, this isn't the way we do it. Give me that. Because I guess, and I don't know how it's done now, because I don't work at a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Never have.
Nope.
You were a Mr. Steak man.
Yes, sir. Pressure cooker. I guess the chicken is cooked in, like, pressure cookers. And it had to be pressurized just right, cooked to a certain deal, breaded just... And you messed it up, he'd take your pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm. You lost the right to have a pressure cooker.
Yep.
A drunk driver attempts to cover the smell of booze on his breath by taking a shot of Axe body spray in the mouth.
Yep. Jeez, you know. Junior likes Axe body spray. That's the favorite of millennials.
Well,
Axe body spray.
Well, good for them.
Seriously,
you know, we had our right guard.
Yep, that's true. In your car right now is some Axe.
No,
baloney.
It's at home.
Ah, always have one for home and on the go.
You know, Stan, we've had a lot of life experience.
We sure have, Haney.
And we've come away with certain life lessons, especially when it comes to women.
They're all crazy and capable of anything.
A woman in China recently gave birth to twins.
Ah, congratulations.
And her husband was there and... Well, one of those twins,
yeah.
He was very emotional because he could see it looked just like him.
Ah.
But when he looked at the other twin,
yeah,
something seemed a bit off.
Details in less than an hour.
He investigated.
Take a guess, and you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. A little closer to home, a woman in La Cucci, Florida.
Where's La Cucci? Is that how you say it?
La Cucci? It's L-A-C-O-O-C-H-E-E.
See, because I would think that's some Indian name.
Yeah. Probably something to do with a river.
La Cucci, yeah.
Because that's Hatchie.
Yeah. But this is Heechee?
La Cucci.
La Cucci. Look that up, Junior.
It's coming from a Tampa-based source.
Ah, so it might be up Tampa Bay way, St. Pete.
Woman calls 911 repeatedly. Why?
Why?
To complain to the authorities that her boyfriend wasn't being nice enough to her.
Let me tell you something, ladies. If you, as a threat, want to go and dial 911, it's not real. You just want to wake them up a little bit, and you try that 911 trick. Rest assured, somebody's coming to your house, and somebody's got to go.
And finally, a drunk driver is caught with fake urine. And your first thought might be, is he trying to game a drug test here?
Yeah.
No, he swears it wasn't. He tries to blame it on his wife. She's got a fetish. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. You know, I wish you said you talked to the engineer about the changing levels.
Yep.
What did he say?
It's in your head.
I don't know.
Yeah. 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Junior?
Haney?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies? By the way, the Brookville area, Haney.
Brooksville.
Brooksville.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, no. This isn't. They have their own river. The Withlacoochee River.
The Withlacoochee.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So I don't know about Lacoochee.
No. Nope.
Now, Brooksville.
Yeah.
I know Brooksville.
Yeah.
I know one of the big radio tower companies is out of Brooksville.
Brooksville.
Yep.
Brooksville. That's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. Uber is forcing drivers to take a wage cut. You can add that to today's list of the
top
things that annoy Uber drivers.
Top things that annoy Uber drivers.
Traffic laws. That puke smell that never really goes away.
Ah, gross, you sick bastard!
Customers asking to change the radio to the Kenny G station. When they push to drive for 12 hours and then realize they're completely out of meth.
I'll show you meth.
Context.
Yeah. Yes. See? Do you see?
Yes.
Perfect.
Everyone assuming they're a sex offender just because they drive a PT cruiser and happen to have a long history of sexual offenses.
Like Michael Jackson there.
Passengers who don't want to hear their side about why they lost custody of their kid.
Oh, Jesus.
What are you people? On dope?
Yeah.
Ray Walston.
Oh. A dear friend of ours.
Yep. These two boys are wasting my time and yours.
Yep.
Top things that annoy Uber drivers. The old cab driver stink eye.
Excuse me, it's ma'am.
Drunk girls.
Yep. Oh, they love him around here now. They just love him around here.
He's a good boy.
Can do no wrong.
Love it.
Till he shafts them all.
It's been a lot of time on the knees, you know.
Top things that annoy Uber drivers.
Yes.
The overweight couple in the back seat just completed foreplay.
Oh. Ooh, so scared, chubby wubby. I reported you to Jenny Craig.
Again, context, very good.
Mm-hmm. Passengers who give them 2 stars just because they attempted a sexual assault.
Yep. What up, biatch?
And finally, the very top thing that annoys Uber drivers.
Yes.
Robert Kraft making him wait outside for 15 minutes while he gets a massage.
That's nasty.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it,
Freddy. Baby. Email time, ahoy, at Stan and Haney. Jeez. At Stan and Haney.
Why is everything so loud today?
Everything's hot. Everything was turned off when we got in here, and now everything's running hot.
Just leave it alone, whoever Jeez. You are. Go play with your own stuff.
This is from Glades County John, who writes in...
Not the Glades
the
County John.
The Glades County John. Ahoy, guys. I hope you had a good vacation. I hope Stan's doing good after his car accident. I can't talk about it.
We can neither confirm nor deny how he's doing.
When I can update everybody, I will. But I can't. Right now. Sharing the podcasts that you guys do with work friends while I'm up here. Tell Junior he needs some recent additions to the library. Again, we were on vacation for a week. There was no new podcast.
It's all fine now.
I think there's 2 up there now. A third will be up there tomorrow. All new. Thought we had a sighting of the waterman up here in Glades County. Turned out to be a local waterman. Yeah, every county has one.
Well, yeah, each county has a designated waterman.
Yeah. Great show, guys. Signed, Glades County John. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, last week on one of the best of shows, Haney played some Etta James.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, any chance of hearing any of that this week? I grew up listening to her and other great blues and jazz singers. You know, guys, there sure seems to be something wrong with our justice system. It seems on a few high-profile cases, there certainly is a double standard. How can this punk-ass little bitch in Chicago suddenly have 16 charges brought by a grand jury dismissed?
Well, Jesus. Did you see the picture of him, Barack, and Michelle?
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, there's the connection there. Connect the dots. What a huge slap in the face to the people of Chicago, the police department, not to mention justice, the truth,
not to mention,
and the rule of law.
Not to mention the poor guy at the state attorney's office who had to go out and explain all this.
Yeah, and say, I still think he's guilty.
Yep.
He may have pulled the wool over local law enforcement, but I think he will be charged on the federal level. Just what kind of influence could there have been to make those charges disappear?
And you know the odd thing? You look around Obama world as it is, and you got Rahm Emanuel calling him out.
Yeah.
And I saw David Axelrod call him out.
And so, these are 2 of the closest Obama buddies there are. What are you eating? What are you eating? What are you...
French fries.
What the...
That's my fault. He was hungry. I got him a burger. You know how he gets cranky when he doesn't eat.
I would guess Obama, given the information that the state attorney called someone from someone in the Obama camp. What a great lesson for our youth. You could do a crime. You don't have to pay the consequences. There's no room for a double standard in our justice system. This is just plain stupid. Morons. Of course, that's just my opinion. You guys are the best sign of the Guardian.
And you know what?
He's done it again!
I don't really even have a problem with them giving him a $10,000 fine in community service. But he needed to go to trial.
Yep. Totally agreed.
It's not like I want to see him locked up for the rest of his life, but I wanted that in public to discourage other people.
Yep. We're going to take a break.
Because he's going around saying, I'm innocent. Yep. I've been proven innocent.
My mother's son. What is that all about?
That guy's sick,
yep,
man.
He's a nut.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same. Mm-hmm. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciate it. Going to get you updated on traffic, and then I'll tell you where Jeff Zito's going to be on Saturday. As you know, Jeff will be moving on. Got a new job up in Tampa, and... you get a chance to say thanks. Thanks for the memories, Zito. We'll tell you where he's going to be. Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. We will start in Cape Coral. We got a crash. Pine Island Road, northwest at Island Avenue. And then in Lehigh Acres, crash. Zelda Avenue North and 5th Street West. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Told you you can say hi to Zito Saturday from 1 to 3. Jeff is going to be at the Sprint store at the Gulf Coast Town Center. Going to have great deals on wireless services. Plus, you can register while Jeff's out there to win a ticket aboard the Key West Express. If you've never done that, you don't know what you're missing. So make sure you join Jeff Zito. One of his final Southwest Florida appearances Saturday from 1 to 3 at the Sprint store, Gulf Coast Town Center. Let's go to the phones. Ahoy!
Hey!
Oh, thought it was... it's Tony, everybody. Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder. What do you want? What do you want, buddy?
Well, it's been a while. I figured I haven't touched base with you.
I figured it. Yeah, you haven't touched base. I'm assuming that you had been busy because we're in season. What is that? What's going on in the background? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, just a gentle breeze blowing right through the tornado where I am enjoying a nice cigarette.
Okay. Is there anybody?
It's very balmy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day today.
Oh, I love this time of year, don't you?
Oh, it's just a perfect time of year. But I thought, you know, I haven't heard from you in a while, that with the season and, you know, the tourists down here, that you haven't had time to call and ask for something.
Oh, don't worry. I don't need anything, my friend.
Ah, that's good. Then why are you calling?
Oh, just to catch up with an old friend always enjoys kicking me when I'm down.
You know what? You deserve to be kicked when you're down. I've tried for decades to help you, and all I get is somebody that's dead between the ears.
Well... one of the reasons that I'm calling
today... Oh, so there is a reason, old man, isn't there? Go ahead.
Is there no sense talking to you,
hey.
You're done for.
Wait a second.
But
I'm done for. Hold it a second. I'm done for.
Yeah.
You've been done for the last 15 years.
There's no getting through to you.
There's no getting through to you.
You meathead.
Don't call me a meathead. There's only one meathead here, and that's you. You're a meathead. What do you want before I effing hang up on you?
Because you're the last person that wants to hear that my life is good.
Oh, well.
And what I want to know...
Your life is good? Your life is good? You want to rub it in my face?
What I want to tell the listeners...
Listeners, plural, not listener. I hope there's more than one listener. Listeners, plural, you stoop.
It's never too late for life to turn around.
Okay. Hold on a second.
All you need is a little bit of luck, and the world is your oyster.
Little bit of luck. Wait a second now. Hold on. You're calling me to rub something in my face. Do you remember? There used to be a time where I would finish work and come over to the restaurant, and you'd have some chowder for me. We'd talk like father and son. And then you just went and turned things all around, and you showed your true colors, and you've been nothing but a miserable man for years and years, and now things are going good. Well, go ahead, Tony. Rub it in my face. How are things going good for you?
Well, when's the last time I talked to you?
I don't know. A couple of months back.
Yeah. Well, a couple of fellas come into the restaurant one day.
Uh-huh. What, looking for directions for some place to eat?
That's what I thought at first.
Uh-huh.
These were four gentlemen of color.
Okay. You don't have to go and pick them out like that. They're four gentlemen.
Well, I try and speak the way that people want other people to speak now. Isn't that what you're supposed to say?
Of color. Okay. Were they black? Were they Hispanic? Were they Asian? What were they?
Are we even supposed to notice?
Well, you're the one that brought it up. If three men came into the restaurant, I wouldn't go and automatically go and describe them of color.
Stan, I try to stay with the times. If we were in the 1960s, I would have said four darkies came in.
Now stop.
But we are not in the 1960s.
No, and we're not back up in Cape May, New Jersey. Jeez, what is your problem? You know what? A lightning bolt should come down and strike you with all your good luck.
Well, I feel in a way that it has.
What
and
happened?
So I wait on this table.
Of color.
And I gotta be honest with you. I had my suspicions.
Yeah. What'd you do? Have your guard up?
Well, you know, you get some experience when you work in Cape May, and my first thought is that these look like Farrakhan people. So, they were all wearing the bow tie, and it made me a little bit nervous.
Sure, the Muslims, the Black Nation of Islam.
But I go over to wait on them.
Yeah.
And they were so polite, so articulate.
Okay, good, good.
Well dressed.
Clean.
I was shocked. Yes.
It's okay.
much like how Joe Biden described when he first met Obama.
Yep. Yep. That's what he said, Uncle Joe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, put the smoke down. You've gone through three since we've been on the phone.
Mind your business. Anyway,
yes.
They were so polite. They introduced themselves to me individually. They go, "Good day, sir.
Yeah.
My name is Mr. Jeffrey. And my name is Mr. George. My name is Mr. Michael." You know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And
there was a Mr. Jeffrey there?
There were Mr. Jeffrey, Mr. Michael, Mr. George.
Okay.
And I think the other one's name was Mr. Michel.
Well, that's French.
It must be. And as I'm talking to them, I don't know if they're Jamaican or Haitian or what.
Okay. Probably. My guess would be a Haitian.
But they were so well behaved.
Okay.
They tipped.
Well, then they got to be Jamaican. Now, what has this got to do with a stroke of good luck?
Well, they become regulars.
they become what?
Regulars. They're in there almost every day.
Okay, in your restaurant. Are they in there now?
Yeah, and it was, there was one day when I didn't feel like working, and I sent Timmy out to wait on him.
Okay. Yeah, Big Tim.
And Timmy comes back all excited, and he says, "Mr. Jeffrey just offered me a job."
He's got a job. He works with you. He's almost like a flit boy. He's almost, he runs errands for you, makes sure that you got all your needs. He probably goes out and gets the smokes for you.
Well, yeah, but he says, "I could do both." I said, "I don't know." And I said, "You know what? Why don't you give it a try?"
All right, that's a lot of responsibility for him. You know he's, mentally challenged.
Yes, and it turns out that these four gentlemen are independent Amazon distributors.
They're independent Amazon distributors.
That is correct. And what they had Timmy doing is, I guess the reason they hired him is they said, "You know, you're a big, strong fellow. We could use somebody like you."
Yeah.
And what Timmy does is he goes around during the day and picks up Amazon packages.
Sure, okay. Yeah, I get that. Currying around.
Yeah, I guess, people leave the Amazon packages on their porch.
What?
He picks them up.
What? Wait. What?
I guess he just He drives around to all the residences, and generally in Cape Coral. They're talking about getting more territory. He drives through neighborhoods, and if he sees an Amazon box, he picks it up so that it can be shipped out.
No.
Now, what these fellas are doing, I think, is genius. Because
I bet you do.
They are going to invest. Uh-huh. And we got that vacant space next door to the restaurant.
Yeah, I know.
And we might be opening a non-retail store there, because what we're going to be doing is selling new merchandise, but it has to be sold as used because of returns or something like that.
So what are you creating next door, your own like Amazon warehouse of returns and stuff that'll be in there at discount prices? Do you know what you're doing?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You know what? Timmy is eagle-eyed. He can spot a package a mile away. But the best part of it is that these Jamaican fellas,
Well, they tip.
Mr. Jeffrey, he seems to be the boss.
Yeah.
Mr. George is second in command.
Yeah. What about Mr. Michelle?
Yeah. Well, he's lower on the totem pole.
Tony, stop it. Stop
now,
it.
Now,
Tony,
this is going to be so great, because guess what?
What?
I don't even have to work at the restaurant anymore, because they brought in this guy, and I don't know his full name.
Yeah.
I just let
somebody in the restaurant to work in there, so you can, and you don't even know
his name. He's not, Stan, please. He is not just working there. He is running the place, because Mr. Jeffrey convinced me that after all these years, that I deserve to be a business owner and collect the fruits of my labor, and I'm too old to be doing this. And so they brought in this guy they know. His name is Groat. And Groat runs a restaurant. And the beautiful thing about Groat is the way they explained it to me, he's an ex-con. I can't have nothing on paper with this guy.
Who, Mr. Groat?
Oh, no, I missed it. He just called me Groat.
Tony?
And Groat takes care of everything.
Uh-huh.
And a nice thing is, the way they got it set up with Groat is he's their employee.
Yeah.
But he does stuff for me, and if the restaurant don't make money, he don't make money.
Tony?
So this guy is so dedicated, he will go outside, and he's got one of them signs that you attach to your abdomen and spin it.
Yep.
So I'm getting free advertising. I don't even have to work. Timmy is happy as hell spending all day picking up these Amazon packages, and now I'm going to have... right next to my restaurant, I'm going to have a little space there with a little store, and I'm going to be able to retire.
Tony, it's Stan here. It's, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're... You know what? I hate to use this word.
Exactly,
you're a victim.
What I'm doing.
You're
I
a victim.
I am living the good life.
No, you're not.
And you are jealous.
No, you're,
you're
not.
Jealous.
You're jealous.
You're jealous.
I wouldn't... First of all, you're a front for an Amazon theft ring, okay? You got Timmy, the poor simpleton, is going around stealing. You don't go and leave the package out. Those are deliveries. People are expecting their Amazon deliveries, and they got Timmy stealing them. Second of all, these four are going and warehousing the stuff next door to you, running your business, telling you you're going to go and have a life as a business owner. Take it easy. You're too old for this. They're scamming you. You are being taken. Your store, Cape Crepe and Chowder, is now a storefront for an Amazon theft ring. You stupid idiot. Once again, who's the meathead? You're the meathead. Call the authorities now before you and Big Tim are in too deep, you stupid ass. You're a stupid ass.
I know you'd rain
stupid,
on my parade.
You're a stupid ass meathead. You're the meathead.
Here's something that'll change your tune.
What's that?
How'd you like an Alexa Dot for $10?
And that's to call him after the show. Okay.
He's batting 287. The count is 2-1. And there's a runner on second. That's Boyer. Nobody out. And it's a smash to short. Brasseau scoops it up, and it should be an easy play. No, he drops the ball. He picks it up, but he can't make a throw. It's an error for Brasseau. And Lenz is on with Boyer moving to third. And check that. They've called it a hit now. Too hot to handle. No error for Eddie Brasseau. All right. Runners on first and second. First and third, rather. An error? It was an error for the shortstop. I thought they flashed a hit sign on the scoreboard there. All right. Bobby Richardson now. One away. And, pardon me, none out. That's none out. And Bobby takes it high for a ball. A strike. The called strike. Nothing in one as Wilson looks in for a sign now. Richardson is 2-for-3 tonight. 1-for-3. Well, he had a single in the second inning. No, the first inning. All right, here's Wilson's pitch now. It's hit straight back at the pitcher. The line smashed. He throws a first. A double lens off first and retire the side with no score. A double play. Check that. Two out. Now, that did not retire the side. Boyer scored on the play. And the Yanks lead 4-1. Or 5-1, rather. And the hitter is Tommy Tresh now, the Yankee left fielder. Center fielder, that is. No, it's Jack Reed. Now, Reed took over in center field in the fourth when Tresh hurt his knee. Or his elbow, rather. It wasn't his knee. I think it was. He hurt his knee. Anyway, that was last week. Hey, here's a pitch now to Reed. And it's a high pop foul over by third base. And it's taken by Dick Stewart. Back at first base. I think I said third base. Over by the dugout, back at first base, and that retires the side. One run, two hits, no errors. Make it one error. One error. Stewart's, Brasseau's error. And so after seven innings of play, it is New York 5 and Chicago 1, or Boston 1. And leading off of Boston now, in the next inning, will be Frank Malzone. The second baseman, the third baseman for the Red Sox. He is 0-for-3 tonight. He had a home run and a walk. He's 1-for-2. One hit and two official trips. And Whitey Ford is set to pitch to Frank Malzone. I'm sorry. Check that. It's Lou Clinton. Malzone flied out to end the last inning. And, it isn't Ford. That's Hal Renneff on the mound. Ford didn't feel well, I understand. We just received word. Ford didn't feel well, and he is after the last inning. It's going to be Hal Renneff, and he's warming up. And while we're waiting for Hal to warm up here, scores of other games. Baltimore leads Minnesota 2-1 after four innings. And five innings, rather, and that's Minnesota leading 2-1. Detroit 5, Kansas City 4 after three innings. Chicago 5, rather, not Detroit. Chicago 5, Kansas City 3. Make that after five innings at Detroit. Or Chicago, at Chicago, rather. Those are the only other games going tonight, friends. And while Renneff is taking his warm-up pitches, just a word from Lucky Strike Cigarettes.
Winston tastes good like a...
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage.
A nice enough guy, but way too much baggage.
What about your baggage, lady?
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining
us. Your baggage, we're going to need one of those smart carts.
Yeah, smart could check that.
Fifth inning or a third inning, rather that. Check the Minnesota.
Check that.
Yep.
Rob show coming up at 6 o'clock.
Brilliance.
Oh, it is. Pure brilliance. Mark Kenny in the news in
if
just a second.
If you listen to that and you've just got it on in the background and not paying attention, you'd never know there was anything
wrong.
There was
a baseball game going on. Not one piece of information was correct. Not one.
And, of course, Malzone, he's 0 for 3 tonight with a home run and a single.
Check that. He's 1 for 2. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. Road Watcher says there's an accident on Alico Road. I don't know where.
I'll take their word for it.
Fort Myers got a crash. Big Pine Way and Daniels Parkway. Let's see. Bonita Springs crash. Quail's Nest Lane at the Speedway. That's the 28,000 block. Lehigh Acres crash. 4,300 block of Lee Boulevard. And then Fort Myers Beach. We have a crash. San Carlos Boulevard and Whitewater Court. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. It starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Charles Curault in New York, Eric Severide in Miami Beach, Charles Collingwood in London, George Herman in Washington, Marvin Kalb in Washington, Robert Pierpoint in Washington, and Daniel Shore in Washington.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, March 27th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Did Not Know.
Okay.
What do you think, Stan, are the world's most popular languages? I won't press you, but I'm looking for the top three.
It's got to be Spanish up there. English.
Mm-hmm.
French?
English is the third most popular language in the world. Outdone by Chinese.
Ah, I should have thought of that.
And Spanish. Because of the movie, I think most people know about the Titanic.
Mm-hmm. What was that, 1912?
The Titanic sank in 1912.
April, I believe, of 1912.
Let's not push it.
Okay.
Let's stick with 1912.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Nobody likes a show off.
Well, I don't know. Was it? I believe. Here's how I know that. When I was in the sixth grade, up in Connecticut, the big paper up there is the Hartford Courant.
Mm-hmm.
And and they gave all of us school kids in the sixth grade. It was the anniversary of the publishing of the paper. And they gave all the school kids front page copies. They made them, they ran them off on the newspaper presses, the reprints of moments in history that the Hartford Courant covered. It had everything from Pearl Harbor and the end of the war and Kennedy being shot. And one of them was the cover, the front page of the Hartford Courant when the Titanic went down. And I remember, wasn't necessarily the stories that were the big headlines as a kid. I used to like to read all the other news that was going on.
And the ads.
Yep, and the ads.
The Titanic sank in 1912. The last survivor was still alive until 10 years ago.
That's amazing.
Milvina Dean was 2 months old when her family went on the Titanic. She survived on a lifeboat and lived until 2009 and passed away at the age of 97.
Wow. Did you see in the paper, speaking, a 92-year-old Tony Bennett just did a show down in Naples and once again found an Italian restaurant down there that he ordered pictures taken. He's 92, still doing shows, looking great.
And can put any restaurant on the map.
Any restaurant. They want to know what he ordered, what was his appetizer, what was his main course, what did he have for dessert.
Oreo cookies. Yes, we know they're controversial.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about double stuff or some weird variety. We're talking about your basic Oreo cookie here. What is the proper ratio of cookie to cream in an Oreo cookie?
I'll play naive about this. 2 to 1. 2 cookies, 1 cream.
The correct ratio is 71% cookie, 29% cream. Now, I don't know where it is in life. You'll need to know that. But there will come a day.
Mm-hmm. When somebody's doing something like this, and you already know it.
And you'll think, thank you, Haney.
Yep.
I'm quite positive it's 71% cookie, 29% cream.
My God, how did he know that?
Yeah, and nobody will like you.
Nope.
Because nobody likes that.
Nope. That's Haney and I at Trivial Pursuit.
Yep.
It's not a fun gathering of, you know, couples playing. No, it's cutthroat to win.
Yep.
And nobody likes that.
And nobody likes explaining that just because you lost a game of Trivial Pursuit to me is no reason to call the police.
Right! Think we're joking.
I'm dead serious.
Yep.
I've had that conversation.
Yep. Again, life experience.
Axe body spray.
Junior's favorite.
Evidently, it is far more powerful than we ever realized. A 49-year-old gent by the name of Efren Mencia Ramirez. I'm sorry, Ramirez.
You gotta say it that way. In there.
Was pulled over in Spartanburg, South Carolina on Saturday when a police officer couldn't help but notice him speeding and swerving. As the officer approached the car, he couldn't help but notice that Efren was frantically spraying something in his mouth.
What?
You know, like a Bianca blast. It turns out he was spraying Axe body spray into his mouth so that it would cover up the smell of all the booze he'd ingested.
I don't know if it's meant to be ingested.
Well, and you're correct to think that, Stan. Yep. There were some problems with that plan. One, the officer witnessed him using the body spray in the mouth. And two, there were empty Corona cans all over the car.
There's your giveaway. There's your tell.
And number three,
yeah,
Axe body spray, as it turns out, does nothing to cover up the smell of alcohol on the breath.
No, but it sure burns your face. Look at him.
Yep. In fact, one of the main ingredients in Axe is alcohol.
Ah.
He was arrested for drunk driving, driving without a license, driving without insurance, and carrying an open container.
Oh, God. Jeez.
And he will pay far more than Jussie Smollett did.
Yep, he sure will.
It'll affect his life.
Yep, forever.
Unlike a Jussie Smollett.
Sealed, expunged.
Where he can prance around saying he's innocent when he's not.
Yep.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, over the years, we've learned plenty about women.
We sure have. And two key things. They're all crazy, and they're capable of anything.
We can add another one to that list.
Can we?
They don't seem to understand how 911 works.
Oh, that's part of the craziness. Oh, yeah, don't make up. I'm going to call 911, then you'll learn. Jeez.
Prime example. A 40-year-old gal,
jeez,
named Marianne Parrish from Locoochee, Florida, called 911 on Sunday night. Why?
Why?
To report to the authorities that her boyfriend was not being nice enough to her.
There's going to be a cop there. They're going to come.
And you would think after the first time that it was explained to her that that's not the sort of thing that you involved 911 with.
Right.
I guess she figured if she could just keep trying and get a different operator, they would change their mind. Because she called them over and over and over again, trying to explain that her boyfriend was not being nice to her. And by the way, we don't know what it is that he was or wasn't doing either.
Yep, probably trying to watch a program.
Finally, after call number 5 to 911, an officer went to her house. And when he got there, he actually witnessed her making call number 6.
Really? Got the receiver out and ready to go.
So Marianne was arrested for misuse of 911.
Good, good, good. Oh, my God. Look at her. Oh, geez. What the hell?
You think I won't call? I will. You don't think I will? I will call the cops.
Oh, man.
You can't call no cop because you think I'm not being nice. Oh, the hell I can't. Watch me.
You know that's the discussion that was going on there. You know it. Seen it too many times.
I dare you.
Yep. Who was in your room?
One of my employees.
Dave.
Did we give him permission to have friends over today?
No,
I don't think we did.
Wasn't a friend.
It's a school night.
It is a school night.
It is.
What did he want? Is he still in there?
What do you want, Dave?
He's hiding.
Get! I don't want to see you.
Go get me some coffee.
Sorry about that, folks.
Matter of fact, get us all some.
Go get around.
Yep. And when you're done with that, we'll all have a shot of whiskey.
Yep. Like gentlemen.
Sorry about that, folks. There's a woman in China who recently gave birth to healthy twin boys.
That's fantastic.
And her husband couldn't be happier.
Betcha.
Upon welcoming his children into the world, he immediately noticed that one of them looked just like him.
chip off the old block.
What puzzled him is that the second twin bore no resemblance at all.
Really?
And so he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He did a DNA test.
That's what you got to do at times.
And determined that his judgment was correct. He was absolutely the father of one of the twins. But not the other one.
Now, do you know how that works, kids? She had to have relations with two different men relatively close together. Yes, the spermatozoa can live for a little while, but relatively close, and one little spermer and two little spermer from two different men fertilized two eggs. What is that, paternal twins?
Well, you,
whatever
you,
it is.
You're right about the time period. You have to be a real whore to pull that off.
Yep.
With the results of the test in hand, he confronted his wife, who knew the jig was up,
and
admitted she'd been unfaithful. And yes, it is all possible. It is rare, but it takes place when a woman releases two eggs at the same time.
And there's two different samples in there.
And filth from one man fertilizes one, while filth from another man fertilizes the other.
Takes a real whore.
It does.
It does.
And that's according to science.
That is the truth.
Scientists say the odds of it happening are extremely low. One study found that it happens in less than 3% of paternity suits involving twins. Yeah. And since there aren't that many paternity suits involving twins, 3% of that is a ridiculously small number. Anyway, the Chinaman is far from happy that his wife beat the odds.
Oh, God.
And he has now explained he will raise his child and have nothing to do with the other.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill? Have you ever been in a position where you have to come up with an excuse or a reasonable answer just right on the spot?
Sure.
Well, 29-year-old Andrew Hartman had that experience recently.
Dave lives like that every day.
Yes. Andrew got into a car crash earlier this month in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Oh, God. The only thing worse than Fort Myers is Port St. Lucie.
He failed all sobriety tests at the scene and was arrested for DUI. And at that point, the police searched his car, where they found a very curious item. What seemed to be a bag of urine.
What?
When the police asked the man about the bag of urine, he had a ready explanation.
Yeah.
He told the police that he and his wife like to, quote, role play, and somehow urine is involved.
Right.
Bags of it.
Yeah.
So the police took Andrew at his word.
Okay. All right.
Went to Andrew's wife and asked her about this. You know she's going to be there for Andrew.
Yeah,
she's going to back him up.
Yeah, you know the plan.
The wife flatly denied having any sort of fetish.
Yep. You know, golden shower kind of thing and flinging it in her hair. And
yep. She explained that Andrew had that because he was planning to use it to cheat a drug test at work.
Oh, God.
So now Andrew's wife is mad at him for making the cops think she was a freak, and, well, his employment outlook has changed for the worse, and he's facing a charge of DUI with property damage.
What the hell happened to him? Look at those cuts on his face.
I think he forgot to watch his head.
Yeah. Yep. My goodness, those are deep.
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, March 27th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida's airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Rob Show, coming in at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. Let's get a look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay. North Fort Myers got a crash. Mile marker 143, I-75 northbound. The rest of these are in Fort Myers. Crash. Plantation Road and Daniels Parkway. Crash. Plantation Road at 6 Mile Cypress. And one more for you. Fort Myers. Crash. Metro Parkway and Crystal Drive. And you are up to date.
In Abbey Road, I choked on a burger down in Tupelo. I drowned face down like a rolling stone. I crashed with the crickets in the Oklahoma snow. I was burned on a pyre by the Joshua tree, or deed in a bath down in Old Paris. I jumped from the bus off the Brunel Bridge, and they're still out looking for me. Now this sexual healing's got me rocking and reeling, singing. Dancing on the ceiling, won't you give me some loving, baby? Hold on, I'm coming. Cause here come the sun, and those were the days we threw it all away in a purple haze.
I can't feel it anymore. I can't feel it anymore. I can't feel it. I can't hear it anymore. Like a stranger on the shore, I feel I'm knocking on.
Talk of the town, we were homeward bound, getting deeper and down on the night train with a lad insane, stumbling through the desert on a horse with no name, 8 miles high, singing an American tune. When Lordy Miss Claudie saw the hole of the moon, busted and stoned and so tired of being alone in a pink Cadillac down Tobacco Road. So, hey, Mary Lou, have you seen Lucille? It's Mr. Bojangles down in Margaritaville. Have the tracks of my tears. Says you served your time, cause a button on the desk can get me strawberry wine. So I levered off the faders and I put down the phones, go back to the green, green grass home. In the back of my van were all these big tea boxes, Bowies and Dillons and Beatles and Roxy's. But a big yellow taxi that I didn't see hit my magic bus and I woke from a dream. The back door opened and out came the vinyl. There was Elvis, Aretha, Molly and Lionel. Just spinning around, reeling and rocking, not making a sound. Those Nashville cats were dancing in the street, here, there, and everywhere, breed petite. And I'll never forget how the Beatles and Stones lay down to make a pallet for me and Mrs. Jones. Oh, well, I stepped off the curb and turned my head away.
I said goodbye to my friends as I heard myself say,
I can't feel it anymore. I can't feel it anymore. I can't feel it. I can't hear it anymore. Like a stranger on the shore, I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.
Believe it or not, that is a song that came out in 2015 by hitmaker Leo Sayer.
Hard to believe. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Girls will do things guys will never do. Girls will go over to each other's homes, try on each other's clothing. You ain't gonna see a guy trying this.
Ed, I sure have been admiring them loafers of yours.
We accept responsibility. We accept responsibility differently, right? Woman bumps into something, she'll blame herself. Oh, silly me. Guy bumps into something, it's a different deal.
Who the hell put this here? Son of a bitch! I thought I put that in a garage.
Even our little things, the little bathroom habits, the little minutiae, the things we never think about, the way we shave, shower, shampoo, all different. Even the way we take and dispense toilet paper, different. Man takes toilet paper, very definitive. It's like,
hee-hi, I'm done. Give me a butt steak, Daddy.
Woman takes toilet paper, very creative. It's like, they get a thing in their hand here, looks like a damn beehive. You could wash and wax a limo with this thing. Two trees in Oregon have got to fall down and make this thing happen. And what do they do with it? And down it goes.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy!
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey! Oh! Thought it was it's Tony, everybody. Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder. What do you want? What do you want, buddy?
Well, one of the reasons that I'm calling.
Oh,
today,
so there is a reason, old man, isn't there? Go ahead.
Is there's no sense talking to you?
Hey,
you're done for.
Wait a second.
You meathead.
You. Oh, don't call me a meathead. There's only one meathead here, and that's you. You're a meathead. What do you want before I effing hang up on you?
Because you're the last person that wants to hear that my life is good.
Oh, well.
And what I want to tell...
Your life is good? Your life is good? You want to rub it in my face?
What I want to tell the listeners...
Listeners, plural, not listener. I hope there's more than one listener. Listeners, plural, you stoop.
It's never too late for life to turn around.
Okay. Hold on a second.
All you need is a little bit of luck, and the world is your oyster.
Little bit of luck. Wait a second now. Hold on. You're calling me to rub something in my face. Do you remember? There used to be a time where I would finish work and come over to the restaurant, and you'd have some chowder for me. We'd talk like father and son. And then you just went and turned things all around, and you showed your true colors, and you've been nothing but a miserable man for years and years, and now things are going good. Well, go ahead, Tony. Rub it in my face. How are things going good for you?
couple of fellas come into the restaurant one day.
Uh-huh. What, looking for directions for some place to eat?
That's what I thought at first. Turns out that these four gentlemen are independent Amazon distributors.
They're independent Amazon distributors.
That is correct. And what they had Timmy doing is, I guess the reason they hired him is they said, you know, you're a big, strong fellow. We could use somebody like you.
Yeah.
And what Timmy does is he goes around during the day and picks up Amazon packages.
Sure, okay. Yeah, I get that. Currying around.
Yeah, I guess, you know, people leave the Amazon packages on their porch.
What?
He picks them up.
What? Wait. What?
I guess he just He drives around all the residences, and generally in Cape Coral. They're talking about getting more territory. He drives through neighborhoods, and if he sees an Amazon box, he picks it up so that it can be shipped out.
No.
Now, what these fellas are doing, I think, is genius. Because
I bet you do.
They are going to invest. Uh-huh. And, you know, we got that vacant space next door to the restaurant.
Yeah, I know.
And we might be opening a non-retail store there, because what we're going to be doing is selling new merchandise, but it has to be sold as used because of returns or something like that.
So what are you creating next door, your own like Amazon warehouse of returns and stuff that'll be in there at discount prices? Do you know what you're doing?
And you know what? Timmy is eagle-eyed. He can spot a package a mile away. But the best part of it is that these Jamaican fellas, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they tip.
Mr. Jeffrey, he seems to be the boss.
Yeah.
Mr. George is second in command.
Yep. What about Mr. Michelle?
Yeah. Well, he's lower on the totem pole.
Tony, stop it. Stop
now,
it.
And now I'm going to have, right next to my restaurant, I'm going to have a little space there with a little store, and I'm going to be able to retire.
Tony, it's Stan here. It's, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're? You know what? I hate to use this word.
Exactly,
you're a victim.
What I'm doing.
You're
I
a victim.
I am living the good life.
No, you're not.
And you are jealous.
No, you're not.
Jealous.
You're jealous.
You're jealous.
I wouldn't. First of all, you're a front for an Amazon theft ring. Okay, you got Timmy. The poor simpleton is going around stealing. You don't go and leave the package out. Those are deliveries. People are expecting their Amazon deliveries, and they got Timmy stealing them. Second of all, these four are going and warehousing the stuff next door to you, running your business, telling you you're going to go and have a life as a business owner. Take it easy. You're too old for this. They're scamming you. You are being taken. Your store, Cape Crepe and Chowder, is now a storefront for an Amazon theft ring. You stupid idiot. Once again, who's the meathead? You're the meathead. Call the authorities now before you and Big Tim are in too deep, you stupid ass. You're a stupid ass.
I know you'd rain
stupid,
on my parade.
You're a stupid ass meathead. You're the meathead.
Here's something that'll change your tune.
What's that?
How'd you like an Alexa Dot for $10?
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
96 Karop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.